Thanks for tuning in to Rare's latest podcast. We've just spent a few minutes with co-founder and senior portfolio manager Nick Langley recording a general update on what's happening in markets, especially what's happening in the Rare portfolio, what's been driving returns and what our positioning changes have been. You know, one of the interesting issues that we wanted to spend a few minutes now delving into is what's been happening in the oil price market, in particular, how that affects our pipeline companies. Now, today it's the 10th of March in Sydney. So yesterday, the 9th of March, we saw oil prices down 30%. One of the hallmarks of Rare's investment process is the very early stages where we define our own investment universe. We explicitly exclude companies with material commodity price exposure. So I'm going to ask Nick to spend a few minutes talking about what's driven the oil price lower, and then shift gears and start talking about these companies that we're into and saying why are their prices reacting to a lower oil price if they don't have explicit commodity price exposure in their revenue profile.
Thanks, Matt. For context, let's start there with the oil market. As Matt said, down 30% yesterday. Put that in context with COVID-19 and the spread of that globally, people are concerned about growth around the world. And as growth comes back, obviously demand for oil comes back as well. And so the oil price had been starting to tick down. The Saudis, the core of OPEC, called a meeting to talk about the supply constraints. And OPEC generally has been constraining their supply to try and keep prices higher. They've done that in conjunction with Russia. In this instance, Russia has declined to participate, and that whole cartel has fallen apart. And as a result, we now have the oil market recognizing that on the supply side, we're going to see significant increases by Russia, by OPEC generally, and by the Saudis in particular. So people are trying to grab market share. And they're doing that to try and cause some pain in the US shale industry, where the shale players have been increasing market share over time. Broadly, oil prices below $40 a barrel, global Brent prices, causes damage to the US shale industry. And so you start to see drilling rigs and the count of those rigs decline over time, and production sort of decline in the US. And so look for a prolonged period with oil under $40 a barrel, and that's trying to shake out some of the shale players and increase the market share for the likes of Russia and the Saudis and so on. That's one theory. The conspiracy theory is, the Saudis are going to turn the taps on big time for a couple of months to try and bring Russia back to the table, and they can, agree some new supply constraints. So it's really a question about who blinks first. Okay, that's context. What does that mean for pipelines and infrastructure generally? And when you look at the US market, what they call the midstream or the pipeline sector is really made up of two groups of companies. You've got the C Corps, which are the corporatized entities, which are what Rare invests in, and the MLPs or the Master Limited Partnerships, which are peculiar to the US, and Rare does not invest in the MLPs. The MLPs tend to carry direct commodity exposure. The corporatized, the C Corps, don't have direct exposure, but as you'll hear in a moment, there's a little bit of indirect oil price exposure, and I'll talk about how that flows through into the companies over time. So the C Corps, yesterday were down anywhere from 12 to about 15%. The MLPs, the index for the MLPs, the Alerian index, was down 27%. So obviously a precipitous fall. I noted in the other podcast that a lot of the investors, particularly into the MLP space, are leveraged funds. And so as you get an event like this, there's a lot of leverage that needs to come out of those funds, and that adds to the selling that goes on. We should see that kind of calm down and settle over the next few days. Now let's talk about the nature of these businesses. So the C Corps in particular, they run large pipeline complexes, a combination of liquids, so oil and what they call NGLs or non-gaseous liquids, and separately gas pipelines. They are generally crossing state borders, and so they are regulated and or contracted. And I say and or because often they're regulated, but they agree contracts over the regulated rates. Those contracts are generally 15 to 20 years in length. And so you've got most often pretty creditworthy counterparties who are your customers on those pipelines. That's for the corporates, the C-Corps. For the MLPs, a number of those take more direct commodity exposure. So they run a lot of what they call gathering and processing plant. And as they process gas that comes out of the ground, they split it into dry natural gas, which they send down the pipelines, and they're left with these NGLs or non-gaseous liquids that are sold separately, and they're sold as a percentage of the price of oil. So as oil goes down, the value of non-gaseous liquids goes down, and that's a core part of revenue for a lot of the MLPs, which is why they've fallen a whole lot further than the C-Corps. So out of that then, you can be relatively comfortable that the C-Corps are infrastructure, because you've got essential infrastructure, you've got 15 to 20 year contracts or regulation that underpin your revenues, and you've generally got high creditworthy counterparties against those revenue streams. So where does the impact from lower oil prices come in? Well, apart from, you know, the market just selling off all of these guys because they all sit in kind of in that energy category of the market, there are some of the customers, and put it in context for Kinder Morgan, which has been in the portfolio, it's not now, and Williams, which is in the portfolio, you know, you're talking 3-4% of EBITDA or earnings that might be at risk from some of their customers. So it's not a material component. But for a number of the MLPs, you know, it could be 20 to 50% of their business is with poor credit quality counterparties. And so, you know, they are at risk of having a significant portion of their earnings actually get tied up in either bankruptcy protection or restructuring of companies and so on. So you've got that credit stress. Obviously, as those contracts go through a bankruptcy process, you know, they're renegotiated, so the rates might come down, and that's where your earnings exposure is. And then separately, with a low oil price and a market that's out of balance, so there's more supply than there is demand, obviously that impacts growth projects over the longer time frame. And so when investors are thinking about these stocks, you know, there's risk on the earnings side, and certainly some of the companies are going to see their earnings come down, but there's also some risk on the multiple side. And these, you know, being the US market, they still trade at like a PE. So you've got, you know, earnings, and then you've got a PE multiple. So, you know, PE multiple is sensitive to earnings growth over time. And as earnings growth reduces, so does the multiple. And so these companies and the investors are seeing a hit from both sides. Both the earnings and the PEs. What's interesting in all of this is, you know, the C-Corps actually become very good value as they sell off, because they don't have the same earnings risk. And yes, the PE should come back a little bit, but if they're not doing the growth projects, they've actually got more cash in the businesses to return to shareholders. And so, you know, we should see buybacks and so on start to increase, particularly for the gas businesses. In the US, you know, if you're drilling for oil, generally the first thing that comes out of your well is gas. And so they talk about the gas being almost free in places like the Permian Basin. And so they're happy to take whatever price they can for the gas, because what they're really looking for is the oil to sell into the market. If they're reducing the amount of drilling to curb oil production, then they're going to be curbing gas production as well. So the price of gas will actually start to increase. So a number of these companies actually could do better over time as there's more capital put into the gas side of their businesses. So as we look at these companies, we see, you know, an unwarranted sell-off for a number of them, but we're also, you know, cognizant that the market is going to put this sector in the penalty box for a period of time. And so we're very careful about where and when we increase exposures. And let's be clear, you know, we are not increasing exposures right now. We need to see this settle. We need to see some of this credit stress come through. And then we'll be in a position where, you know, if we decide it's appropriate, we'll add a bit of exposure to the portfolio. So, you know, broad picture, we do not see direct oil price or commodity price exposure to the revenues of the C Corps in particular, but we do see implications from investor sentiment, long-term growth projects and whether they get undertaken, and potential credit stress from some of the customers of this of the sector. Again, not a big issue for the C Corps, the corporates that we invest in, but it is a big issue for some of the MLPs that are invested in out of the US.
We talk a lot, investors, about sort of sustainability and the growth of renewables and so forth within the utilities. The electrification of a lot of sort of parts of the world that we touch, and driving that down to the utilities to provide electric funding, generating that electricity through renewable sources. Does a lower conventional energy price have implications on that growth as well? Or is that more policy driven?
It will likely be more policy driven in the medium to long term. In the short term, it does have an implication. Companies can reduce their emissions by burning more gas, and we're seeing very low gas prices in the US market today. And so we are seeing more gas being used at the margin, and less coal. And the companies are moving to switch off that coal plant as quickly as possible. We do see gas as what we call a bridging fuel. So at the moment, there's a lot of energy generated by solar and by wind, but we can't store it. The battery technology is not there yet. And so when either the wind doesn't blow or it goes dark at night, we need gas to generate electricity, and the gas plant can be switched on very quickly. Modern CCGTs can be switched on in 15 minutes. And so that allows you to smooth the electricity load and balance some of that renewable exposure. If you look forward, 10 or 15 years, we should have the battery technology that will allow us to transition away from the gas. So, our broad view on these pipelines is, if you've got the main line kind of trunk pipelines, they're going to have good value for probably the next two or three decades. But a lot of the smaller and branch lines and so on may only be utilized for the next decade or so, and then you've got stranded asset risk.
Thank you very much.